Red Sox down one in the series with the Phillies after that cluster F last night, and you can talk about that all morning long and all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, and they will be at it again this evening. And first pitch is 6:45 on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app. And the Odyssey app is where you can leave a Hill note on any topic at any time. And we will play the best ones back at 9:20 this morning. But before that, we will get, at 8:45, we will give the Jackson 5 another twirl.
Yes.
And you two missed a couple Jackson 5 segments last week.
Jackson here with another life jacket.
So Jackson has 5 questions that he wants to ask himself. And he will do that. He has 5 questions for all of us.
All right.
Coming up in the Jackson 5 at 8:45.
And it's any type of question.
Huh?
Any type of question.
Yeah, he's supposed to base it on what is happening all around us.
Okay.
And we'll see how he does. So that is coming up. But back to the news now with Courtney.
39-year-old David Vasquez Larkin, a man in New Hampshire, was arrested after he set fire to his ex-wife's garage in Nashua.
Oh.
Yeah, the ex-wife.
That's cruel.
Yeah, the ex-wife lived in the house with her new husband and had an active domestic violence protection order against the 39-year-old David. Here's Maggie Vasquez on WMUR.
It was so scary. All the windows on the side of the house are shattered from the heat. There's embers right up to the house. It's so close to having started going into our home, and it's terrifying.
Yeah.
What's the film from my youth? Nobody will know it because you're not old enough. Endless Love, Wiggy, you would know it. Is that the one with Brooke Shields where the guy is madly in love with her and ends up lighting the house on fire at the end? I think there was a remake of it.
What movie do they say friends listen to Endless Love in the dark?
I don't know, Curtis.
There's a remake coming this summer.
Happy Gilmore.
You mean a sequel?
Gilmore 2.
Yeah. Comes but out Happy Friday. Gilmore when he's with the woman who was on Modern Family.
You're right about that. Yes. Yeah, Happy Gilmore 2, Netflix Friday. I cannot wait. All right. Well, that's awful. So the guy's under arrest or something?
Yeah.
Good.
Malcolm Jamal Warner has died after a drowning incident while on vacation with his wife and young daughter. This story's terrible. 54 years old, he was swimming off a beach in Costa Rica when witnesses say he was swept out. People at the scene tried to drag him back to shore, but it was too late. Of course, Malcolm, very well known for his role on The Cosby Show.
Yes, Theo Huxtable.
Yes. America's son.
Yep.
Were you a Cosby Show person?
I feel like... Everybody was.
It was popular when I was young.
It was?
Yeah.
It must have been in reruns.
Nick at Night, baby.
Yeah. But I watched it.
Yeah, it's still, I think it's still in syndication, so it still runs.
Yeah. That's sad.
Really
it
sad.
Was like, and just was swimming and got caught up in the...
Some type of riptide that drew him out. There were nice people around that tried to get him back, but it was too late. Awful. To think of his wife with their young daughter now having to figure out how to get him back and everything else that goes along with it. Terrible. Oh. There's a new poll up that has Michelle Wu leading Joshua Kraft by 30 points.
By what?
30 points.
Okay.
Wu has a 66% favorable rating versus 28% unfavorable.
Who are they polling?
That was my question. I don't get a phone call asking who I'm going to vote for.
Also, what's the other option there? Because that only adds up to 94.
Yeah, that's what they gave.
Curtis.
Curtis is 6%.
We put Curtis for mayor in there.
Yeah, they have. There's a 6.6%, I believe, in the poll that was undecided.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that's very interesting.
I feel like Josh Kraft is about a decade late in the run. If this is 2015, I think the Boston overwhelmingly elects a Kraft, given the success of the team. And I talked to someone in politics when we were in Rockport a couple weeks ago for the show. And that
Wiggy wasn't there for that one.
No, I wasn't there for that one.
And I thought Josh Kraft had a good chance, and this person said 0.0 chance. Wow. Who was going
really?
For it. Yep.
Yeah, but people
more bike lanes.
People said that about when Trump ran the first time and the last time. Like the polls always show. I don't know. Do we
30
trust
points? Trump was never down 30 points.
That's a lot to overcome. But I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, the Patriots did come back 28-3.
Speaking of road shows, since we haven't all been together since the last one, the Lake Winnipesaukee,
mm-hmm.
we need to do our best ofs for road shows.
We do. Ooh.
So maybe we'll do that maybe later this morning, maybe at 9. We'll
I know my favorite.
Yeah. Well, we have all the categories to go through. Okay, we got to go pregame. We got to go best food. We got to do best crowd, the whole thing.
Right.
All right, what's next?
Well, we're going to end with Donald Trump himself. He spoke out about Brian Koberger on Truth Social yesterday. If you are new here, Brian Koberger is the man who just pled guilty, took a plea deal in Idaho for the Idaho 4 killings, the killings of four University of Idaho students back in 2022. He is expected to have his sentencing hearing tomorrow in Idaho. But Trump on Truth Social said Brian Koberger, who was responsible in Idaho for the deaths of four wonderful young souls, has made a plea bargain deal in order to avoid the death penalty. These were vicious murders with so many questions left unanswered. While life imprisonment is tough, it's certainly better than receiving the death penalty. But before sentencing, I hope the judge makes Koberger, at a minimum, explain why he did these horrible murders. Huh. There are no explanations. There is nothing. Hmm. People were shocked that he was able to plea bargain, but the judge should make him explain what happened. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Yeah,
that judge made an ass of himself at the last hearing when we were in Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that? Like, if somebody's taking a plea deal, is the family owed are the families owed an explanation on why they did it?
100%.
Or is it just people who are obsessed with true crime?
No.
Like you.
No, because if you listen,
like you're owed an explanation.
No, because if you listen to the families, there was just a great new documentary that just came out on Amazon Prime called One Night in Idaho. And if you listen to all of these, not even just the families, like the friends that mm-hmm. one of the friends speaks, Hunter, he speaks on this documentary for the first time, and he is the one who found Zanna and Ethan, two of the four victims. He got a call with his girlfriend from the two surviving roommates who said, something weird happened last night. We're freaked out. Can you come to the house? He and his girlfriend went to the house. Mm-hmm. He walked inside, walked upstairs, and then told everybody to get out. He shielded all of these other friends from seeing the absolute carnage mm-hmm. that was in that house. People deserve to know
why
yeah, he chose this group of friends.
But randomly. if you ask that, though, like, you also have to be prepared for the fact that this guy is a sociopath mm-hmm. and could possibly just say because I wanted to.
Yeah. Well, that's fine, and that's all well and good, and right. obviously he's evil, and I don't expect humanity from someone who's capable of that. But I also just throw this out, Greg. For those that oppose the death penalty, and there are very logical and well-reasoned people who believe that, think of all the cases like this that would not have a guaranteed life imprisonment without the possibility of parole because the criminals don't want it. Like, it is a huge thing in the holster for the prosecution in states that have the death penalty as a potential outcome for first-degree murder. It is essential, and part of that plea has to be that you explain the motive to the families that all died with their kid that day.
Right.
I agree, you're right. Like, you shouldn't be, like, if that's what families want, having never been through it, if that's what they want, then the guy, the psycho, ought to have to do it.
Well, it just, from watching this documentary, and again, if you're interested, it is very well done, and you hear from family members, but you also hear from friends. It not only ruined these four young people's lives, it ended it. It ruined their families' lives and those friends, because the friends talk so much about, were we being stalked for the last, mm-hmm. you know, couple of months and had no idea? A lot of them say, you know, I am so scared in life just constantly because mm-hmm. I feel like we were living life just free, right. had no idea that somebody was watching our every move. Is that what led to this?
Right.
There are moms that speak that say, why my daughter why were there two roommates that survived this?
Right.
You know, did he go in with the intention to kill four people?
Right.
Or did he just mean to go in and kill one and one thing led to another? There's so many questions around it, but the sentencing tomorrow, it's 9 a.m. Idaho time. I believe that's a 2-hour difference, so I think 11 a.m. here.
Everybody okay. wants closure.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
This is Bob.
Good morning,
Bob. This is Bob from
Yeah, Lake. Hello.
Bob.
Bob. Yeah, Warwick.
Warwick, Rhode Island. Yeah, what's up, Bob? What's up, Bob?
Yeah, how about those Red Sox? they're finally playing some decent teams, and you can see the results. I love it.
Well,
you know I hate the Red Sox, right?
Oh,
And Bob's not a fan.
This guy calls every day, it feels like now.
If I'm forgetful in my old age,
Jackson, can we just, like, not take him anymore?
Bob, I get it. You hate the Red Sox.
He does.
Hates Alex Cora, hates the Red Sox. Doesn't love the Yankees, just loves teams that beat the Red Sox. Yeah, we get it. It's the same shtick every day.
Can we just have him call one more time so he can say Brian Hoyer? Like quarterback.
That's crazy that he just hates the Red Sox but doesn't like the Yankees. I wonder who his team is.
Right.
I don't think
Brian Hoyer, the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, a lot of effort involved there. Like, he does call nearly every day and perhaps multiple shows.
Yeah.
Oh, he calls every show.
To say, I hate the Red Sox.
Right. Yeah.
But, he even calls on the weekends.
He just called again.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that's what
he seems like he's writing letters to the Red Sox front office as well. Like, he gives me, you know, I'm making sure my voice is heard. Are they legible? I do not know.
Ooh, strongly worded, maybe a couple underlined things.
But capitals.
If it's italicized, I'm out.
And now we do here on this platform is give people the voice that
they
need.
Yes, we do.
Or they want.
But, Wiggy, we want to create the room for multiple voices.
Yeah, I guess
not just one.
All right.
What do you think one
night? So give Bob a time. You got from 1 to 2 to call.
Greg, work with me here.
Yes.
One night, Mike Monaco, Will Fleming, and Bob.
And Bob?
That would be electric.
On the broadcast.
What a stud in every way.
All right.
I also screwed up. We had another story, if you wanted to get to it.
Well,
it's a local one.
Okay.
Just quick.
Okay.
4 Boston suburbs are on the 50 wealthiest list in the country.
Mm.
Really?
Yes.
Can we guess?
Yes, please.
4 Boston suburbs are among the wealthiest in the United States of America. I would say Dover.
Nope.
Weston and Wellesley.
You've got one.
Wiggy got one.
Wellesley.
Stowe.
Nope.
Newton.
Nope.
Damn. Brookline.
No.
What?
Fitchburg. Really?
Nope.
What are the others?
It's Wellesley, Winchester, Lexington, and Needham.
Wow.
Really?
What? Yeah.
Needham, huh?
Needham making the move in there.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
John Curtis lives there.
Do you want to guess? So Wellesley came in ranked 10th. Do you want to guess what the average household income is?
In Wellesley?
In Wellesley, yeah.
At least 100K.
The average? Oh, yeah. I bet it's more than that.
2.3 million.
It's probably what's the average salary in the WNBA, Curtis? 1.3 million.
That's what Courtney said.
I would guess it's 300,000.
Very close. 367,000.
That's the average salary.
Average, yes, for the household. And the home value average is $2 million.
Oh, see, that's why I confused. I thought you said the home value.
Yeah, Winchester household income 283,000.
Right.
Home value 1.6. Lexington came in at 35th, 1.6 million home value with a 280,000 household income. And Needham at 42, household income around 267,000 with a home value typically totaling over $1.5 million.
Wow. Very affordable.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Very affordable.
It's also a buyer's market.
Also, Curtis, you cannot refer to Stowe as Stowe anymore. They are changing their name, I think, on Thursday of this week. Did you see that while you were gone?
Duncan.
Yeah, it's going to be called Duncan.
You wanted that?
I did want the moonshot.
I thought that whoever created Dunkin' Donuts last name was Duncan.
An all-timer.
I mean.
All right, let's get to what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now. Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Red Sox dropped their first in Philly 3-2 in 10 innings. It was a catcher's interference call with bases loaded in the bottom of the 10th that led to a walk-off win for the Phillies. Walker Buehler went 7 innings, giving up a run on 6 hits while striking out 4. We can hear from Carlos Narvaez talking about what happened with the interference from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
We got information on that one. We know when we need to go closer to a hitter, when we need to go back, guys on backswing or stuff. So we always, you know, Tech is always on charge on that. He always let us know, hey, you got to go closer, you got to go back. So we got replay now. So small things like that can change the game like it happened, you know. But I take accountability on that one moving forward.
Okay. Wow. It's Jason Veritek's fault. Nice. Well done.
I mean, it would have mattered anyways, because right, they were going to lose that game regardless.
Courtney, I actually think you forgot a town on that list. There was one more that you missed.
And a Stoughton woman.
Wow. Yes. Expensive. Yeah. Stoughton.
Yes.
Good one, Leominster also.
I never said that.
Oh.
Leominster. I know
you
Leominster.
You said one that was up that
Lulenburg.
Way.
Lulenburg.
Oh,
Lunenburg. Lunenburg. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com, today. Another one in Philly tonight, 6:45 first pitch with Richard Fitz getting the start. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's the Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:45 for the MassMutual pregame show. There is a Celtics rumor going around right now that the Seas are reportedly interested in free agent Ben Simmons, along with Boston, New York, Sacramento. And the Suns are all interested in Simmons, so very interesting there. And it's reporting day for Patriots vets. We're going to hear from Mike Vrabel this morning at 11:30. And visit the 99 restaurant today through Wednesday for their newest big deal meal, the Crispy Fried Twin Catch with North Atlantic Cod and Crispy Shrimp. It's just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. We will be right back.
Can we get some passion from the longtime manager of the Boston Red Sox? Can we get some anger? Can we get? Can you sit there and tell us that mm-hmm. it was a dumb mistake and it cost you the baseball game when you need to be winning baseball games?
How about you say that? Listen, it was a bad play by Narvaez, but ultimately the reason why we lost this game is because I botched it at the top of the 10th by not playing a little small ball.
I mismanaged the ball game.
The catcher's interference. All right. We probably lose the game anyways because it's bases loaded and no outs. So either way, we're probably going to lose this baseball game. But I mismanaged it for us to be in the best position to win the game.
That's Cora, though. You're only going to get him fired up if somebody's criticizing one of his guys. Like, Cora's not going to get fired up to criticize one of his own. That's not his personality. It never really has been. He's always a guy that if you see him fired up, it's because he doesn't agree with what somebody's saying about one of his people.
Well,
say he should have managed when his graduation
was
going. Then he should be fired up
mm-hmm.
that you came off a 10-game win streak, and the time to win baseball games is now,
mm-hmm.
and you are, this part of the schedule,
right,
since they started winning when Curtis was in another state, has been circled as being very important for this baseball team because it's a fair test
right.
of what you are.
Right.
And they're failing it.
Mm-hmm. If you don't make the playoffs, I'd probably say that it's, I mean, I would probably do it if I was the owner. If Red Sox don't make the playoffs, I fire Alex Cora at the end of the season. Because there's no way you can say, all right, we're going to continue to keep going with this guy who, in the first half of seasons, has done decent jobs. He's done a good job. But in the second half of the season, this will be, 4 years in a row, he's not been able to manage this team to where we expect him to go.
In the Twitch chat, which you can participate in every day if you are watching this show on Twitch, you could do the same on YouTube. But in the Twitch chat, Lucy in the car says, Greg, the clubhouse chemistry is great. What more do you want? So I am guilty of believing that the chemistry on this team prior to the break was certainly a factor in mm-hmm. winning baseball games. Maybe something happened during the break.
No, I think the clubhouse.
Maybe somebody wasn't invited to Nantucket with Roman Anthony.
maybe.
Clicks are forming.
I think the clubhouse chemistry is great. I mean,
it doesn't matter in baseball. It never has. It's the most individualized team sport in the country. They are all independent contractors. I know 25 guys, 25 cabs, but you can't tell me that in 04 they all hated Schilling and the blowhard nature and all that stuff. He and Pedro didn't get along. They won because they were so effing good. Like, and that is also on the manager. Francona was brilliant at navigating egos and getting guys to play despite their feelings about someone else. I just watched Cora, and what you said, Greg, I couldn't agree more with. Like, have a little fire. That is an awful way to lose a game. You saw social media when that game ended.
Yeah.
People were enraged. Why? What does it hurt you to just say, I can't believe we lost a game like this. This is sickening. The season is now, you know, there's only 60 games left. We got to win, you know, 40 of them.
Right.
What
terrifies me, I know we talked about it earlier, but are they now going to look at this team based on their performance since the break as not worthy of investing in for this season?
I would.
You would?
If you show me, and I told you, these
are... When I say investing, I mean, like, making a big move that is, you know, at some risk when it comes to the future, but is a move for the now. Like a Jaren Duran move or whatever.
Right. Well, if I could get more for Jaren Duran in the offseason, I look at this season based on, and we talked about these series coming out of the All-Star break, I look at it and go... All right, well, you can't beat the good teams consistently. Why would I invest into a team that's not going to be able to make some noise?
What about this, Greg? Trade for an incredibly talented yet underachieving third baseman with the San Francisco Giants. Maybe they could get him here.
Well, no, I can't.
Why would you invest, Greg? If you're them.
Because you have to improve the club.
But if you see that the club... is not going to get any better, and
by definition, you would get better.
Right, but if you could get more for Duran, and this is the baseball Brett take, if you could get more for Duran in the offseason, and based on the performance of what your team looks like, you know, the first 15 games after the All-Star break, and it looks like you're not going to be able to do much, then wait till the offseason. I wouldn't invest.
But up until the last 3 years, this isn't even a conversation. The notion that the Red Sox would not add at the deadline was a foreign concept.
Right, but they're a whole new different ball club.
According to Sam.
Well, they're a whole new different ball club, and the fact that out of the last, what, it looks like 3 years in a row you finished in, what, last place?
It's a special time.
And now you're on pace to maybe not finish in, probably not finish in last place.
I mean, we're a game back from the Yankees right now, so it's like, all right,
back from the Yankees and what?
Well, they're 55-45. We're 54-48.
Yeah, but you're a wild card team, but I thought you were talking about the division. You're six behind Toronto.
Correct.
Who cares about the Yankees?
I'm just saying, like, it's not we're
Bob
not,
and Warwick.
You keep saying that, well, we're probably not going to come in last. I don't think we're going to come in last at all. So do they look at this as, okay, well, it's a bit of a jump from the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, but if
Alex Cora's improved a little bit.
No, my thing is, I don't think you're going to come in last place, but if you don't make the playoffs...
Then it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. This was a epic fail, and the fact that if you go out, these next, like I said, 15 games, because if you look at these, you know, the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Twins, the Astros, if you go through that stretch, and I think the Astros might be right up until the trade deadline, a little bit after it, if... You get through this and you're like, well, we only won two games in our last 10 games. Why would I invest in a team like
because that? Because that's the team you invest in. They obviously have huge issues you need to find.
But if you're not very good.
And it's also tough because the Yankees after the Blue Jays got the Phillies, the Rays, and the Marlins.
And I think that, and even Sam Kennedy talked about it when we had him at Lake Winnipesaukee, is like, what type of team are we? If you come out of this All-Star break and you win two games and nine, would you invest?
Curtis, welcome back. Text for you.
Oh, God bless.
Wanting Devers back is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Classic Curtis.
It was tongue-in-cheek there.
I couldn't find a lineman.
Sarcasm's like a second language to me. What movie?
I just... Curtis is correct. Mm-hmm. Like they, I hope that they are looking at this season as one in which they are willing to go for it, regardless of what happens during this period of time after the All-Star break.
Well, then you're in favor of messing with the chemistry then and trading Durant.
Yes, I think you have to mess with the chemistry at this point.
To use your most valuable assets to get you what you can get.
Yeah, whether it's Durant or whether it's Willier Abreu.
I would keep Abreu.
Who has a couple more home runs than Rafael Devers does. I don't know. Fans.
So let me ask this question.
Don't you think fans are getting sick of it?
Right, but let me ask this question. If in these 9 games that you're playing against the Cubs, which you won one, let's say you win one against Philadelphia and one against the Dodgers.
They're going to win one of these games against the Phillies. Like,
okay, so you
got to hope, but they're 11-3 going into the game tonight. So, like, yes,
You would invest in a team
I don't think that they're going to only win one game in the next week.
No, I said one game against Philly and one game against the Dodgers. Lost all 3 series. You would invest in this team?
They've already invested in the team. They spent a ton of money in the offseason. It would all be for naught if they don't make the playoffs.
That's my point.
So then what are you – I don't know what you're arguing.
Because
of course you invest. You already have invested.
You're not going to get much if you're not willing to move on from guys like Durant.
Yes, they have one of the best farm systems in baseball.
You have a ton of prospects.
What are you talking about?
All right, so you're saying you're going to get a lot for the prospects.
Of course.
Yes.
All right. Well,
that's the whole purpose of prospects my entire life as a Sox fan.
All right,
use them to get players at the deadline because you can afford to sign guys in free agency.
All right, so if they feel that way, they can use the prospects, then maybe they will get rid of some of those guys and go out and get a Nathan Evaldi or a Joe Ryan that we've talked about.
Well, it's not good currently.
No.
But that's okay. Baseball, you can turn things around with one win one tonight, Curtis. Anything can happen.
Yeah. You know what I say? Momentum is as far as your next starting pitcher. So tonight, Dick Fitz takes on New England on his back.
Not great, Bob.
Swing of the bat.
Yeah.
We are going to get to the Jackson 5 coming up next. Don't be that excited.
I'm pretty excited.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, your week off.
Jackson 5 coming up, and then Hill Notes at 9:20 on today's show. Well, straight from senior shopping hours at the Farmer's Market, here is Jackson, and it is time for the Jackson 5 this morning. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
By the way, we're doing our roadshow rankings. Best idea floated at a roadshow?
Yes.
Jackson.
Yes, that was a brilliant business idea.
I love it.
Have you made it happen yet? The special services for the elderly at the farmer's market.
I have not, but I've looked into it a little bit, and it seems like there's a couple of like side businesses that kind of do it, like, but not like registered or anything like that.
I see.
A couple of guys that might do it.
Okay. All right.
So I'm seeing if I can maybe recruit and get some people that know what they're doing. And maybe
All right. Well,
start from the grind up.
You have 5 questions for the room this morning, and they are the Jackson 5. So let's go.
All right.
What's number one?
Number one, the 5 worst NFL teams last year were the Patriots, the Titans, the Browns, the Giants, and the Raiders. Out of those 5, who has the best season this year?
Ooh.
What were the names again?
That would be the Patriots, the Titans, the Browns, the Giants, and the Raiders. With training camp coming up, we want to see what people think.
Or the Raiders.
Let's see.
I mean, you said Pats right away. That's a homer answer.
Well, I know, of course. But then I just said Raiders.
I think it's the Patriots.
Yeah,
I think the Raiders would be pretty good, but like you and the Raiders should be pretty close.
Right, and their division is harder
than
yours.
Way harder, yeah.
So the Giants are in a harder division.
And they suck.
Yeah, and
the Titans stink.
Yep, the Titans going to
The Browns are horrendous.
Yeah, and the Browns are horrendous and also in a very difficult division. You're in the easiest division out of all those teams. Titans are going to have quarterback questions. Browns going to have quarterback questions. Giants quarterback questions. At least you don't have a question at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm.
I vote for the Raiders ownership as the best of the group. Just totally
best haircut.
Impartially.
You do love a certain minority owner there, Curtis.
Tom Brady's brilliant, but the Patriots are going to win 10 games. They're by far going to be the best of that.
Mr. Josh McDaniel.
Okay. What's next, Jackson?
Right, shocking news overnight as we learned that Malcolm Jamal Warner, who played Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show, died. Who is the greatest sitcom character of all time, if you exclude the named of, you know, the character that the show's named after?
The star of the show, you mean? Who's the greatest? Yeah. Who's the greatest character?
Yeah, secondary
on a
character,
sitcom
perhaps.
Ever.
Mm. Costanza?
Dwight Schrute.
Costanza's
a
great
that's
one,
a good one, Curtis.
Costanza is also a great one.
Kramer's a good one, too.
Well, pre-rant.
Yeah, I mean, pre-rant, but...
Ross on Friends.
Oh, what is Stop. Wrong with yeah. you?
You should leave.
You know, he was what supposed to be the star of that show?
Yeah.
Ross was, yeah.
The greatest character.
Schneider on One Day at a Time.
What about Puck on Real World?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, the greatest character. Seinfeld is, but then the Larry David show.
Curb.
Yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Every day is black tie optional.
Who was the dude, his buddy who.
That passed away.
J.B. Smooth? With the voice?
No, not J.B. J.B. Smooth was a great character
LB.
As well.
Were you a Modern Family guy?
You're talking about Super Bob. Bob Einstein.
Hands down. For me, it's Charlie Murphy from the Dave Chappelle show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
I mean, but that's not a sitcom.
Yeah.
But is
it's not a sitcom.
Is the show you just brought up, isn't that kind of like a sketch show?
No, it's a sitcom.
Yeah. Oh, is that?
Yeah. I liked Cam on Modern Family, but I don't know if I'm alone in the Modern Family. I liked Modern Family.
Yeah,
I thought that was a good sitcom.
Mm. I never got into
really?
That. That was, too late for me. All right, what's next?
All right, the Philly Fanatic is often called the top mascot in sports. Who is the worst mascot in sports?
The worst mascot?
I know it. The Providence one. Providence Friars.
The Friar?
That Friar is so scary. It is like
scary?
Nightmare fuel.
What do you mean it's scary?
It's have you
it's
seen
a
it?
Mascot.
It's terrifying. That's the worst one in sports.
I will go easy. I may be biased, but the worst mascot in sports is the Irishman, Notre Dame's fighting Irish guy. Annoying. Pathetic, and I think a little bit racist.
No, it has to be Sourdough Sam, the mascot for the 49ers. Because who names themselves after bread?
Well, it's pretty good, kind of bread.
I mean, it's very popular, sourdough.
Also, side note, just because Jackson brought up the Philly Fanatic, does Philly just have the best mascots? Because they also have Gritty, the Flyers mascot, who is tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what is the Philly Fanatic supposed to be, like a Snuffleupagus, or like what is it? Like, what kind of an like? Shouldn't they be based on an actual animal?
Yeah, I
Philly's, isn't it Snuffleupagus?
I don't think it's.
I don't know how you say.
Oh,
it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because what is Wally?
He's the green monster.
He's the green monster.
Oh, he's the green.
Yeah, he's
he's the green monster. Yes. Is that what? That's no animal. I didn't know the Green Monster was an actual animal.
Okay, what's all next, right. Jackson?
Happy Gilmore 2 premieres on Netflix on Friday. What is the best Adam Sandler film?
Spanglish.
The best Adam Sandler film.
This is funny that you asked this, Jackson. Oh, I was literally thinking of this last night.
I like 50 First Dates.
Great movie.
I just rewatched it the other day.
Mahalo.
Yeah. Aside from Happy Gilmore, it's probably The Waterboy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Waterboy, hands down.
Yeah, you're hands probably down. Right about that.
Hands down.
Because it's in top five personal would go probably Happy Gilmore, The Waterboy, Billy Madison.
I love Big Daddy.
Yeah, Big Daddy. Yeah.
Big Daddy and Uncut Jams.
Oh, Uncut Gems. You throw the serious one?
Did you like Grown Ups?
I still like Grown Ups.
Really?
Yeah. Man. I like all Sandler's movies. I like Jack and Jill. I like I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. I mean, I think when Sandler does all those type of movies, I know what I'm getting into. Yeah.
I think Big Daddy may be my favorite. I love that movie. It's a great Saturday afternoon watch.
Is Spanglish the one where he's the chef?
Yep, and Mia Moore.
That's a good...
Great movie.
In a serious role for him. Like, that was actually a good...
Yeah, excellent that was like movie. His best serious
role. I would never been a huge Adam Sandler fan, but that was...
Oh, I also
good.
Forgot Mr. Deeds.
How yeah, Mr. Deeds.
Very sneaky, sir.
Yeah. Okay, Jackson.
All right, the Celtics, they were interested in signing Ben Simmons. He's Australian. Who's your favorite Australian celebrity of all time?
Wow. Liam Hendricks.
Yeah, that's up there.
Favorite, I would have to
Every Australian I meet is very sexual.
Do not say Crocodile Dundee.
Crocodile Dundee?
I knew you were
going to
say that.
Come on. Now that's not.
What's his name? Paul Hogan. Paul Hogan. I favor Olivia Newton-John.
Oh,
okay. It's a good one.
When it comes to the Australian celebrities.
I like the Angry Dad crew. If you haven't watched it on YouTube, it's hilarious.
I think the new one now is Chris Hemsworth. He'd probably be for the newer generation.
Or Margot Robbie.
Oh, she's Australian?
Yeah.
She is?
Yep.
I know a lot of people like the fans of the boys is the, what the hell is the guy who?
Mark Urban.
Yes.
Yeah. Carl Urban.
Yeah, they like him. He's an Australian.
Who's he?
From the TV show The Boys.
Oh.
He's also played Judge Dredd. He was in the Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger was Australian, correct?
Was
he? Yes, well, I think he was.
Who's the dancing guy that played Wolverine?
Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a big Aussie. He's a big Aussie.
I know you said Crocodile Dundee, but I like the Crocodile Hunter.
Steve Irwin.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P. Steve Irwin. Yeah. And also R.I.P. Crocodile Dundee, I think he's passed away
a while ago.
He was only able to make 17 Crocodile Dundee films during his time on Earth. Yeah. All right, Jackson, pretty good.
Round out to five.
You didn't answer a single question yourself during that.
You don't know how hard that was, actually.
That was very good, Jack.
Five questions from Jackson. Coming up, we will get to Hill Notes at 9:20, so leave one of those now on any topic on the Odyssey app.